Listing these decisions by other professional bodies regulating public servants isn't an act of whataboutery, where someone tries to defend their actions by pointing to the actions of someone else. Just because there are teachers and doctors who act inappropriately does not make it acceptable that there are politicians who do so too. The question is whether politicians as a group are more likely proportionately to be evil, venal people, or whether just as we accept that there will always be some bent coppers, we have to accept that not all the people we elect will turn out to be good eggs. Unfortunately for those who'd like a polemic about how very wrong so many of our politicians are, I don't think this is actually the most serious problem afflicting Westminster. I joined the lobby, the group of journalists who work in and cover the day-to-day goings-on of Parliament, in 2011. And while I have met my share of politicians who are either too selfish or too stupid to deserve the honour of representing their constituents, I have largely become more disillusioned by the way the vast majority of decent, well-meaning types are ill-used by Parliament itself. So the next important question is whether Parliament turns good eggs into bad. Just take this exchange on the BBC's Question Time in 2014, involving the left-wing populist comedian Russell Brand. A member of the audience confronted the comedian, telling him to stand for Parliament. If you're going to campaign, then stand, okay? You have the media profile for it. Brand replied, "My problem would be, mate, I'd stand for Parliament, but I'd be scared that I'd become one of them." Brand clearly thinks that going into politics would force him to change in some way to become like other politicians. It's clearly not a resemblance he aspires to. He obviously thinks that being like all the other politicians in Westminster would represent some kind of erosion of his good character. Perhaps he fears he might trudge willingly into a cash for access scandal, or that the Westminster bubble might turn him into a sex pest or an anti-Semite. Does Parliament turn MPs into sleazebags, or were some of them always like this? And if the latter is true, then how did they become MPs in the first place? The expenses scandal gave many people a clear grievance against all politicians. That was unforgivable in itself, but what was worse was that a culture of unacceptable behaviour had sprung up. And that is what this book is about. It is about how we get the wrong political cultures, which lead to us having an unrepresentative, often unprepared, and frequently unhappy bunch of politicians who end up passing bad laws, causing personal disasters, on small or catastrophic scales to people who then flood their constituency surgeries in crisis. Cultures are more dangerous than individuals. They continue with each changing of the guard of bad guys and are so pernicious that even those employed to scrutinise them can sometimes miss what's going on or fail to recognise how bad their effects are. Who are these people anyway? The rogues gallery of MPs who got things very wrong indeed is horrifying enough. But that's not the full extent of the definition of wrong politicians. Parliament doesn't look like the rest of us. It might be that a fully representative Parliament wouldn't necessarily be best for the country, as it is rather handy, after all, for a fair number of your lawmakers to have an understanding of the law from their previous occupation. But this book will show that there just isn't an opportunity for the best to get into the corridors of power anyway. In the 2017 Parliament, 29% of UK-educated MPs went to private schools. While this is a record low for the years that the Sutton Trust, which campaigns for better social mobility in this country, holds data, it is still disproportionate compared to the general population, which is around 7% privately educated. In addition, 1 in 10 of the privately educated MPs for whom the Sutton Trust holds data went to one school, Eton College, the alma mater of 19 prime ministers. Eton places a high value on the importance of public service, but it is staggering that just one school has produced so many MPs when there are entire towns in this country that have never been represented by someone who was born and schooled locally. It's not just educational background. Despite women making up more than half the population, only 32% of MPs elected in 2017 were female. It was only in the 2015 Parliament that the number of female MPs who've ever been elected to the House of Commons passed the number of men who were sitting on the green benches at